Have you ever doubted your salvation? Have you ever wondered if you are really saved? If so, then I'm glad you've tuned in for today's broadcast. This is Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm really glad that you've tuned in because we're beginning a new series called Beyond Doubt. It's based on a book by one of our discussion leaders, Sean Lazar. I'm going to come back at the end of the program to tell you how to get a copy of that book. But as for right now, let's jump right into the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
Well, we're starting a new series today based on my book, Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation. It's available on Amazon or at a bookstore right now. I wrote this book because it seems like a lot of people, I've met a lot of professing Christians who would say something like, I'm not really sure that I'm saved. You know, that's a problem that we encounter all the time, right? Doubts about their salvation.
Well, that's actually how I came to faith.
Mm-hmm.
I had doubts about my salvation. A friend had invited me to a Campus Crusade for Christ meeting. I was thinking in terms of giving my life to Christ and committing my life, and I was dedicated, and I had turned from my sins, and I'd invited Jesus in and felt something. But how did I know I was really saved? How
right.
did I know I turned from enough sins? I'd committed myself enough. Did I invite him in right? I didn't know any of those things. So as a result, assurance is what led me to contact Campus Crusade for Christ at my campus. And ultimately, the staff member kept repeating Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And not only did I gain assurance, I gained everlasting life.
Mm-hmm. In the book, I tell the story about having lunch with a friend that I knew pretty well. And he came from, you know, a Bible church background, and his family were very serious. They were homeschoolers. They were very intentional about the faith. But he had all these doubts about his salvation. And I asked, don't you believe in justification by faith alone? And he's like, yeah. And don't you believe in this? And he's like, yeah. And then I said, so what's the problem? And he said his problem was, well, how do I know I really believe it? I mean, I believe it, but how do I know I really believe it? And so for him, there was like different kinds of faith.
Once you do that, you've eliminated assurance.
Right, because then what's the criteria for knowing if there's different kinds of faith, and we would reject that. You know, we'd say there's only one kind of faith. There's
right.
different things that you believe,
right.
but there's only one way of believing. But he was taught there are different ways of believing. And he wasn't sure if he had the right way of believing. So he believed that Jesus was the Savior, and he justifies people by faith apart from works. But he didn't know if he had the right kind of faith. He knew he believed it in some sense, but he didn't know if he had the right kind of faith to be saved. And so that destroyed his assurance.
I totally agree with you. This is a huge, huge problem in Christianity. And it's not just a problem in Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. This is a huge problem for Protestants. You're talking about an evangelical here.
Yeah.
Someone who would identify as believing the fundamentals of the faith, someone who calls himself an evangelical, probably would identify as a born-again Christian. And yet he has doubts. I would say these doubts are very prevalent, and that's why I'm glad we're going through your book, Beyond Doubt.
Right. So the first chapter in the book, the title is Don't Ask Jesus Into Your Heart, The Error of a Confusing Gospel. I think that's probably a controversial title because isn't that a very typical way of evangelizing?
It is such a typical way of evangelizing. As I mentioned earlier, in my own personal experience, I had invited Jesus into my heart, not just once or twice, but hundreds of times. I remember when I was a pastor of a small Bible church, I talked to the youth in the church, all the children from about age 7 to age 17. And I remember several of them told me they had invited Jesus into their heart. I said, well, why should God let you into heaven? They said, because I invited Jesus into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And why should that get you into heaven? No idea.
No idea.
No idea, but mom and dad told me that's what I should do.
Yeah.
And so then I went on and discussed John 3:16 and other passages, and they understood that it was by faith.
Right.
But inviting Jesus into your heart is very confusing.
We have these ways of evangelizing. They're not biblical. They don't come from the Bible. We've just developed this language about what we need to do to be saved. For example, I was just at a VBS with my kids, and the speaker, it was at the end of it. It was kind of a family night. And the speaker gave an invitation to the kids with every head bowed
right.
and no one looking. And if you've made a decision for the kingdom, raise up your hand. Well, a bunch of the kids raised their hand. I made a decision for the kingdom, and one of them was Zane, my son, who's like, you know, just turned 5 years old. I was just thinking to myself, whoever in the Bible, you have to make a decision for the kingdom. And what does that mean, even, make a decision for the kingdom? Decide what? I mean, what are you, that right. It exists, that it's coming? I mean, what exactly is being asked here? And I have a very different way of evangelizing. Like, I'm evangelizing my son, Zane.
Right.
It's been now a couple years where I've been evangelizing him just every day, just making it very clear, wanting him to be very clear that you're believing in Jesus for a type of salvation. But at this church, afterwards, there was like an announcement that said 7 kids got saved. And I know that one of those kids was, you know, my son Zane, because they made decisions for the kingdom. He doesn't know up from down. I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't tell you anything. And I bet a lot of people went to VBSs when they were kids. They thought, well, okay, I made a decision for the kingdom at some point. But they don't know what they got. They don't know what Jesus did. They don't know what Jesus guarantees. And they still don't even really know what God said is the condition to me to be saved. It's just a confusing way of evangelizing.
It's very confusing. I remember I taught a class on evangelism at Dallas Bible College when it moved to East Texas. One of the students in my evangelism class was a missionary kid, an MK, mm-hmm. and had grown up in South America with missionary parents. He had gone to camp when he was 9 or 10, and he had heard, instead of making a decision for the kingdom, he had heard, if you invite Jesus into your heart sincerely, well, then you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So he started inviting Jesus in. And he said from about the age of 10 to the age of 17, 18, he had invited Jesus into his heart hundreds of times. And the reason why, it comes back to your friend. Did I believe correctly? In this case, is did I invite him in correctly?
Right.
How do I know I was sincere enough? Did I feel the right things?
Right.
And so he kept doing it over and over again. And then when he was like 17 or 18, a senior in high school, he said he went to another camp and he heard that if you simply believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally clicked for him. As you said earlier, there's no verse in the Bible that says if you invite Jesus in, you have everlasting life.
Right.
And he said since then, he's never invited Jesus in again. And the young man was about 20 at this point, so it had been 2 or 3 years. And he said, I have assurance and I haven't lost it because now my assurance isn't based on some invitation that I prayed.
Right.
My assurance is based on something Jesus promised.
Right. In the book, I tell this story that was told to us by a friend of ours, someone who's on our board. He's a pastor of a fairly large church. A missionary came wanting to raise money. And this missionary, this guy, he pastors a Bible church. So she didn't know the church and she didn't know him, but she wanted to raise money. So she contacted him and so they can have a meeting. And our friend tells the story that, you know, he asked her, tell me about yourself. And she says, you know, she was raised in a Christian family, and although she was baptized at summer camp, she only gave her life to Christ a few years ago, and now she really wanted to serve him. And he asks her, you know, how would you evangelize? I mean, you want to be a missionary, so how do you go about evangelizing? And she told him something like this. She says, I tell them about Jesus being the Son of God, how he died on the cross for sin, and if anyone receives him into their heart, they'll go to heaven. And he says, well, I see. Okay, well, I'm sorry, but we can't support you.
And that must have shocked her.
Right, she's in shock, right? She's like, what? You know, why wouldn't you support me? I mean, she's like, isn't this a Bible church? Aren't you guys evangelicals? And he basically said, yeah, we are, but what you said, we can't support you because what you said was extremely confusing. Like, it's a little bit longer here. You can read it in the book. But he says, we only support missionaries who share the gospel clearly. She comes back and says, I mean, well, what was unclear with what I said? You know, God loves him and you should receive him into your life. And he says, well, the problem is you didn't tell them what the condition was to be saved.
Right.
Which is to believe. You didn't tell them what they need to believe. You didn't say what you get when you believe, which is eternal
right.
life. And you weren't clear that eternal life can't be lost. Basically, just saying all this stuff about Jesus entering your heart doesn't answer any of these questions about what the gospel is really about or the saving message is really about.
Right. She did mention that Jesus died and rose again, but she didn't say, because of that, if you believe in him, you have everlasting life. Instead, she said, because of that, if you receive him, well, then she didn't say what you get.
Right.
I guess she would say, if you receive him, you're saved. But what does that mean?
Right.
And is that something that's secure? And so what our friend was telling her is, you have to be clear that by virtue of Jesus' death and resurrection, if we believe in him, not we pray some prayer, not we invite Jesus into our heart.
Right.
If you believe in him, you get salvation which can never be lost.
Like, just use the word believe. Just be clear about believe or having faith. Don't leave that out. That's the key term.
And make sure you include everlasting life, or once saved, always saved, salvation that can't be lost, an eternal relationship with God, you enter his forever family, something. But what you get is permanent, and they need to grasp that. How can you have assurance if you're responding to her type of evangelistic appeal? How do I know I really received him?
Right. How do I know that I've had the right kind of encounter? How do I know I've done this, that, or the other? How do I know if my love for him is great enough or more genuine enough?
How do I even know that salvation is secure? Because she didn't give me any verses
right. That
show that salvation is secure.
Right, right, absolutely. So one thing I say in the book, and one thing that we emphasize here at GES and at our magazine and on the radio, is, you know, just evangelize the way Jesus evangelized. Use his own words when you evangelize. Instead of asking all this Christianese, ask Jesus into your heart stuff, just go to John 3:16 or John 3:36 or 5:24, where Jesus just says, you know, whoever believes has everlasting life. Just use that terminology. Evangelize the way Jesus evangelized.
Yeah, what would Jesus do? We know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know it's that simple. Your assurance is based on his promise, which is that the one who simply believes in him, the one who's died for us and paid for all our sins, if we simply believe in him, we have everlasting life. You know that's good news.
Thanks to Bob and Sean for that great discussion on how to overcome the doubt that comes concerning salvation. Now, I want to tell you how to get a copy of Sean's book that they talked about in today's discussion. It's called Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation by Sean Lazar. To get a copy of this book, you can go to faithalone.org and click on the store. If you want to get there directly, you can go faithalone.org/store. Put that in, and the book is right there in the store. In addition to this, we have all kinds of free resources available for you on our website. We've got a free print magazine, full color, comes out 6 times a year. You can get a free subscription to it right there on faithalone.org. Maybe you'd like to listen to past episodes of this show. If that's the case, you should get a hold of our podcast. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn, but you can also get it right there on the site, faithalone.org. On the site, we also have free ebooks, free blog posts, Bible study materials, all kinds of stuff that can help you grow. I hope you'll take advantage of that. Maybe you'd like to become a financial partner. If that's the case, you can find out how to give a tax-deductible donation right there on faithalone.org. Maybe you've got questions or comments for Bob and Sean. If that's the case, I'd like to let you know they really like to hear from listeners. So I'll give you our email address so you can reach us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to talk more about how to overcome doubt concerning salvation. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.